Hi, everybody. During the months of March and April, we are highlighting the work of Rios to Rivers in our community effort to showcase organizations who are working towards social justice, environmental action, and more inclusive public lands.
Rios to Rivers inspires the protection of rivers worldwide by investing in underserved and indigenous youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and support them in their development as the next generation of environmental stewards.
Founded in 2012, Rios to Rivers programs have connected 234 underserved and indigenous students from 20 endangered river basins in 7 countries. The programs have included students and community leaders from 21 indigenous nations.
Rios to Rivers envisions a world in which youth who are intimately connected to their local waters and tribal communities are equipped to become the next generation of passionate leaders for healthy rivers and communities.
Make monthly charitable giving a trend in your life in 2024 and help to support Rios to Rivers this March and April. Visit the link in our Instagram bio for more information.
Hello and welcome to the Season 1 Summit, Part 3, here at Gaze at the National Parks. I'm Dusty.
And I'm Mike. And in this episode, we're going to be covering current events within the 10 national parks that we covered this past season. Just to refresh your memory, those parks were Yosemite, Bryce Canyon, Great Smoky Mountains, Zion, Congaree, Arches, Canyonlands, Rocky Mountain, Cuyahoga Valley, and Acadia National Park.
And since this episode is about current events, we have got to talk about something, Mike.
Yeah, we do.
And that is our beautiful dear friend of the podcast, Brad Ryan, who you might have seen on CBS This Morning most recently. He and his grandma Joy are visiting all of the national parks right now.
They've been to 29. Brad has a really amazing story. He emailed us about a month ago to say that he was listening, but he also wanted to share his story with us. His grandmother had never seen the ocean before.
And nor had she seen a mountain.
Nor she had seen a mountain. And so it was Brad's goal to really make that happen for her. In effort to do that, they started to travel to see the national parks.
And they are hustling.
They are hustling.
They are all over the place.
29 in 3 years.
That's right.
Yeah.
You can follow their adventures at Grandma Joy's Road Trip on Instagram. Do go. Do follow them because they have such amazing adventures. And also, like, what literally Grandma Joy, just seeing the two of them brings me so much joy when I look at that profile.
Yeah.
Because they are so aggressively seeing so much, and I am like so envious of their travel itinerary. And so,
and the time that they get to spend together.
I know.
Like such a cool thing to be able to like spend that time with your grandma
and to
have that shared experience and for her to be so into it.
Exactly. Like,
So
Brad and Grandma Joy, we hope to see you on the trails real soon. Let's get into some hot goss.
Yeah, well, this Libra over here needs to know all of the details.
Let me tell you. Okay, so when we are planning these summit episodes, these 4 summit episodes of season 1, we split the workload here.
Yeah.
Like, and I was in charge of looking up all of the current events currently happening.
Right, because you're a lover of history.
Oh, I'm a lover of history and also a lover of research.
Yeah.
Deeply. And a lover of context.
Mm-hmm.
So I really wanted to know what was going on currently in the national parks that we visited.
Mm-hmm.
So
tell me.
Let's get started.
Like, does he have a car?
Tell me, did you get 4?
Yeah.
Why don't you name a park and I will tell you what the hell is going on at a park.
Do we have like a wheel spinning like sound effect? Because I feel like we should have that inserted here.
Great. Spin the wheel,
Mike. Spin the wheel. Arches.
Straight up, here is something exciting that is happening in Arches National Park.
Great.
Arches National Park just literally like earlier this month officially became a certified international dark sky park.
Oh, well, that's great.
Yes, right? Canyonlands was already a dark sky park, as well as Hovenweep and Natural Bridge.
Okay.
Natural Bridges National Monument.
Okay.
They've already been certified as that. What that means is that there is what is called the International Dark Sky Association. It is a designation that recognizes like a park's quality night sky and commitment to protecting and sharing natural darkness.
What was the holdup?
They determine an international dark sky park if it is land possessing an exceptional or distinguished quality of starry nights and a nocturnal environment that is specifically protected for its scientific, natural, educational, cultural heritage, and or public enjoyment. There are all these like steps you have to take in order to like become designated. The park officials had to like replace a whole bunch of light fixtures so that they had like fully shielded bulbs to like minimize glare and light emissions.
And light pollution. Okay.
Right. Exactly.
Interesting. In last week's episode, we talked a lot about how the environmental impact of some things were really going to work towards the negative as far as parks that already had that designation. Different things like encroaching communities, encroaching hotels, and air pollution. So it's interesting to hear that Arches is just getting this designation now, which is exciting.
It is very exciting. Yeah. And they are excited because it will help like astronomy based tourism.
Yeah,
because there are huge followers of the dark sky parks.
Right.
And they also just recently completed Panorama Point, which is going to be like a stargazing area within the park.
That's great.
And on September 21st, they're going to celebrate with a ceremony, and it's going to be at Panorama Point.
Oh, cool. We've been to a few Dark Sky Society or Sky Association parks. We've never really lucked out.
No, we haven't. But
so it's something to work towards for sure. So, should we spin the wheel again?
Spin the wheel again. Who are we landing on this time?
Acadia.
Acadia. Okay. So, here is the tea going on in Acadia.
Great.
It's all about ticks.
Oh.
So, ticks are your favorite thing.
No.
Because I know you just, you know.
Permethrin spray.
Permethrin. You really everything. Love ticks.
Permethrin your life, folks.
So, here is something interesting that is happening with the ticks. Currently, the University of Maine is doing this research study about ticks in Acadia. Okay. Like, there are literally grad students going around collecting ticks.
That sounds like
my nightmare, but it is what it is. What they have found is that there was a wildfire that burned through Acadia in October of 1947.
Okay.
And ticks are more prevalent in the area that burned.
Huh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Do they know why yet?
The reason they say is because ticks are more interested in living in hardwood forests versus softwood forests.
Me too.
Same. And so the area that burned has basically come back as a hardwood forest.
Huh.
And the vegetation in that area is deciduous.
Interesting. I'm wondering if that's the case. I'm not sure that you have this information in front of you, but I'm wondering if that's the case in other like natural environments where there is wildfire and forests grow back as more of a hardwood than a softwood.
Right. Another thing they say is in hardwood and mixed wood forests, there tends to be a thicker layer of like leaf litter on the ground, and ticks will like bury themselves underneath those leaves.
Yeah. Guys, ticks are a problem. That's
they
like
are.
Something you need to really be aware of if you're not an experienced hiker or if you're not someone that's out there on the trails enough. And climate change is only making tick populations worse because oftentimes we don't have a harsh enough winter for like a really cold frost to take hold. Ticks can kind of just survive as opposed to, you know, swaths of them dying off. So their populations are just growing in number. There were so many different kinds of ticks. I'm sorry, I didn't have like the PSA announcement before I launched into this, but there are ticks that can cause you to even have like a meat allergy when you're bit by them. Like you are allergic to meat at that point. So ticks are a thing that you really, really need to be careful of, not just because of Lyme disease, but because of a whole host of other issues that could arise from a tick-borne illness. So be careful out there on the trails.
We are deeply conscious of it all the time. Mm-hmm. I'm like literally freaking out constantly about them.
Same are me.
Ticks not only cause Lyme disease, they also can carry with them anaplasmosis and babesiosis are two other diseases that they have inside of them, then they can, you know,
Miss give Anna to you. Plasmosis.
I know they both sound like drag
Miss
names.
Miss Babesiosis.
Babesiosis.
Babesi.
Babesi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do.
So, yeah.
Evil drag queens.
Right.
Yeah.
I think it's time to spin the wheel.
Oh, okay. Rocky Mountain National Park.
Rocky Mountain National Park. You know what it has to do with? Moose.
Oh.
So they're doing this study in Rocky Mountain National Park right now, where they are trying to see how moose population really like use the area and use the preserved natural habitat. So what they've done is they've put collars on all of these moose that are like yellow and vibrant, and it tracks where they go all through the park. And
that seems like a feat.
Right. Well, it is. This was literally like earlier this week. They had these aerial surveys where they would fly over and like take a whole bunch of photographs, and you can see the moose based on, I mean, obviously, you know where they are based on like GPS tracking.
Right, right, right.
But you can see a visual of them because of the yellow collars.
Okay. And what
I saw a video of, I saw a photo of them putting these collars onto them, and they were yellow. And so like, that is why I'm assuming that's the thing, the yellow collars. I could be totally off.
Do you know what they've discovered yet, or is the study still too young?
Oh, it's such a new study. It started in 2017, and it took them this long to figure out how they were going to like track them and what exactly they wanted to know.
All right.
So now they're finally like really doing the deep dive of collecting the data.
Well, moose were not original to the park. Now they are fully a part of the park's environment. They're not historically recorded as being there when the park was first discovered. So I'm curious to see what the study ends up coming up with.
Same. It's time to spin the wheel.
Zion.
Zion. Oh my God. I'm going to cry a little bit.
Okay.
Because I am not like a real birder. Okay.
I know, but you have dreams.
Right.
I dreamed of dream of birds flown by.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
I might get a little flaclumped over this.
Okay.
All right. I will say, like, I did try and find happy news that was happening in national parks.
Great.
Sometimes that wasn't always the case. Mm-hmm. However, this is very happy news.
Great.
So back in the 90s, the bird, the California condor, which is this enormous bird, it was so endangered. Mm-hmm. It was like so dangerously close to being extinct. Mm-hmm. And back in like 1993, there were only like 25 left in the world. Mm-hmm. The government got a little involved here with the National Park Service and was like, okay, we need to save these birds. So they created this Save the California Condor program that would breed them together so that they could continue the species. Mm-hmm. Just earlier this month, the 1,000th little baby California condor was born in a condor nest on top of Angel's Landing.
Wow.
Yes.
That's really cool.
The only way they were able to know is they had, these two birds had a nest, and with careful observation, they saw that the behavior of the two birds started to change a little bit, and like literally someone had to like propel down the like side of a cliff on the opposite side of the canyon.
Okay.
To like be able to like zoom in close enough to see that there was in fact confirmed the 1,000th little baby condor born from this program.
Little baby condor. Well, you know, again, I'm just going to harken back to our previous episode. Birds are a lot of the times looked at along with aquatic life as being like a bellwether for how healthy a park is, as far as if there are issues with chemicals in the environment that are causing things to go awry. Like we talked about peregrine falcons, like really their population being decimated. And a lot of that was due to DDT, which was eventually outlawed, and their populations have since risen. So it's great to hear that the California condor is on the rise.
On the rise. I mean, it's amazing. Still technically endangered.
Oh, but yeah.
It is still but it's good climbing that back. It's climbing back into the world for
that's
us.
That's great. Should I spin the wheel again?
Do it. Let's go.
I'm going to say Bryce Canyon.
Bryce Canyon.
Yeah.
Okay. So I know it's not like the most exciting news, but last month when like the world, you know, was super hot, the temperatures in Utah were, you know, around like 80s, 90s, even to the hundreds sometimes. However, Bryce Canyon tied with Dillon, Colorado and Stanley, Idaho for the coldest temperature in the U.S. during that time.
And
at
what was that
36 degrees.
Wow.
At night.
Wow.
So at night, Bryce Canyon got down to 36 degrees.
I mean, Bryce Canyon is like 7,777 feet up there.
That's right.
It's way up there. So that makes sense. Yep. I mean, altitude-wise, I'm sure.
Right.
I would have probably, I think, as a lot of people would have, clamored for that temperature during the heat waves. Well, that's great.
Yeah.
Some cooler temps.
There we go.
In there. Let's spin that wheel again, that big old wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Great Smoky Mountains.
Great Smoky Mountains. I would be remiss to not mention the fact that Lisa Hendy, shout out to Lisa Hendy, became the first chief ranger of the Great Smoky Mountain National Park, who is a woman.
Wow.
They have never had a woman as chief ranger before, and she is the first one. She had just previously been at Big Ben, but she had grown up in Tennessee. And so it's sort of like a homecoming for her. Yeah, she grew up in Chattanooga.
That's great.
She is managing about 240 permanent and 80-plus seasonal employees.
Okay, cool.
For Great Smoky Mountains National Park, which is the most visited park in the park system.
Yeah, it totally is. And we've been there twice now.
Shout out Lisa Hendy.
That's right, Lisa Hendy. Can you tell me a little bit more about Cuyahoga Valley?
I would be happy to tell you a little bit more about Cuyahoga Valley.
Spill some tea for me, won't you?
Okay, so back to my... I am not a birder myself.
Oh.
But I am obsessed with birders because... I think it is fascinating how, like, there's so much patience involved in this hobby. You know what I mean?
An incredible amount.
And it's not necessarily something that you get to have a lot of, like, social community around. Like, right. It's really just, like, you and the birds, like, when you're a birder. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I'm sure there are meetings, you know what I'm saying? And I'm sure right. there's, like, an online community. Yes. I haven't fully
investigated deep dive yet.
I do know some people who are birders, and they just tends to just be them in a book, and you know, that's that. And you know, please, birders, let us know if there's something we're missing here. We would love to know more.
Dusty would love to know more.
I would love
to. I mean, I would love to know more too, but clearly Dusty
all that
like
being said, they discovered a new hybrid bird in Cuyahoga Valley National Park. Yes. And it was discovered by a park ranger who was walking through the Deep Lock Quarry area of Cuyahoga Valley. Literally, this park ranger heard this chirp. He associated with this one kind of bird, but it was just slightly off, and was like, oh, that's new. I hadn't been heard that chirp before. Got some photos of that bird, and that began this sort of investigation of what was this bird. And it is a hybrid.
It's time for everyone's favorite game show. What was that bird?
It is a hybrid of the cerulean warbler and the northern perula. It's a tiny little bird with like blue in its feathers. It's beautiful. Really what this has brought up is the question of like, why has this hybrid bird come into existence?
Yeah.
And what is it saying about the environment?
Yes.
What we do know right now is that the fact that like, this one species of bird has decided to like hybrid mate with this other species of bird means that that first species feels super comfortable in this area, that it's sort of like settling into this area and that geographically speaking, it's sort of like this area was made for those kinds of birds. So that is something they do know. And there's a lot they don't. So they are doing a lot of work to figure
HMS
out what
Beagle
that means.
And Charles Darwin and figure this mystery out. Raise them from the dead, folks. Let's do it. What parks haven't we talked about yet?
We have not talked about, I'm very excited about this one, Congaree.
Oh, tell me more about our favorite Congaree.
Congaree. All right.
Our little baby sister Congaree.
Little Congaree. Every year in Congaree, they
spiders.
Are known for their, well, they have those. We've seen them. But they're known for their fireflies.
Mm.
You know, you can see them all the time in the evening. And I found out a lot of people do go specifically to see the fireflies because they're all over the place. However, Congaree is a very special place because for 2 weeks in May out of the year, the fireflies are actually synchronous fireflies. So they glow all at the same time.
Oh, wow.
So it's this like special connection they all have for just like 2 weeks, and they're all in the same glow cycle. Hmm. And you can see it. And they stay open, like the visitor center stays open until 10 p.m.
Wow.
You have to like buy a ticket, and like you they make this special trail so that you can go out there and see them.
That's so interesting.
So yeah, and it's only for 2 weeks.
Why they sync up?
Yes. So the synchronized blinking is actually part of a mating ritual.
Oh.
And it's found at Congaree and a handful of other places in the country, including the Great Smoky Mountains.
Well, look at that.
And
they couldn't just let Congaree have it.
I know. Of the 2,000 species of fireflies, only 3 show synchronistic mating behavior.
That's really interesting.
And that all of this information comes directly from the Park Service. There's a minor league baseball team in South Carolina called the Columbia Fireflies. Oh. And they are called that because of literally this thing. Huh.
And Columbia is like a stone's throw from the park.
Right.
Yeah.
So
I know we haven't talked about this park, and I think it might be the last one we haven't mentioned. But what can you tell me about Yosemite?
Yosemite. So this is one of the most interesting stories I have found.
Oh, great. Save the best for last. This was
however, it gets
folks.
Into like a sort of political realm. So I'm going to try to explain this. Let's first talk about this.
Great.
Landmarks, places in national parks all have names.
Uh-huh.
We've talked about, you know, the act of naming something. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of like beautiful academia that dives very deeply into what it is to name something, mm-hmm. and why something gets named. And you could look at any one of these things and study it as an example of like what happens when we name certain landmarks certain names. So this is kind of like a deep dive into this world for a second.
Okay.
Yosemite National Park gets its name from the Yosemite tribe that lived in that area of California.
Okay.
They referred to Yosemite Valley as Awani, which literally means large mouth.
Okay.
This was a word that they used that then later on, when things like hotels were built, mm-hmm. in Yosemite, they named one of the hotels the Awani Hotel.
Okay.
This is really important to know. There is another area called Curry Village, which has been currently renamed to Half Dome Village.
Okay.
We remember that when we were there.
Yeah.
Here is the deal. Like, these names date back to the 1920s.
Okay.
When they were first built. Now, there has been a dispute over names, okay. in Yosemite, and here's why. So after some time, this independent company owned and managed all of these hotels in Yosemite National Park. This company's name was Delaware North Companies Incorporated.
In the park or around the park?
In the park.
Okay.
In the park. And they operated the park's restaurants, hotels, and outdoor activities.
Okay.
So in 2015, they were due to re-up their contract. However, they were outbid by this other company called Aramark. And when Aramark took over, Delaware North sued and said that when they had taken over in 1993, they were required to purchase the previous concessionaire's intellectual property, which included the names of all the places.
Okay.
And so that they deserved a royalty for all of the names of the places because they owned that intellectual property.
Okay.
So rather than saying okay to that, Aramark went, no, we'll just change the names.
Oh.
So that is why they changed it to Half Dome Village.
Oh.
And the Awani Hotel was renamed the Majestic Hotel.
Oh.
They were so ticked off about this, mm-hmm. that literally they just like made like temporary, like there were permanent wooden signs,
yeah.
in place,
I'm
with
sure,
these
like,
names
beautifully
on them,
carved, yeah.
beautifully carved. But they put like these temporary like tarp signs over, oh. them and just renamed them.
Okay.
Because of that. And so they finally reached a settlement,
okay.
at the end of everything, like just recently. And so literally like they had a whole celebration to like pull all the stuff down and go back to the original names.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. So that was a win for Yosemite National Park.
Well, look at you, Yosemite.
I know.
Beautiful gem, you. And last but not least, our little baby Canyonlands.
Yeah, there's nothing little or baby about Canyonlands. Okay, this is an example where I wish I had good news. And unfortunately, I don't. Now, I will say, when I researched all these parks, I did find quite a few headlines about people who had died. Mm-hmm. I mean, Yosemite only last week, like, there are three people who went off trails and, like, one died and two are in critical condition. Like, somebody tried to get close to the waterfalls, not Yosemite Falls. The
Vernal or Nevada?
No, the Bridal Veil.
Oh, Bridal Veil.
Bridal Veil Falls. They went off the trail onto the rocks and they slipped on a rock and hit their head and now they're dead.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Reasons to stay on the trails, y'all. Like, mm-hmm. don't die.
Yeah.
Stay on the trails.
Yeah. That photo can be taken elsewhere.
Speaking of Canyonlands, Canyonlands is having a problem, and that is with graffiti.
Really?
Yes. It is really, really sad and unfortunate to even have to, like, talk about this, but that is the reality. The chief park ranger feels that this year, next year, actually, they will have twice as much of a problem with graffiti than this year. A lot of people are coming in and, you know, just, you know, carving names into things. And, you know, it's less about, like, spray paint and more about carving names into stuff. From what I've gathered, there is some spray paint stuff happening too, which just kills me. But this article that I found,
Joshua Tree problem.
Right back there. But this article that I found talked a lot about this Instagram account that I did not know about, but I totally looked up immediately, which is called Public Lands Hate You.
Oh.
And it calls out Instagram influencers who, like, go and take pictures in fields of flowers that are on public lands, because you should not be going into fields of flowers and traipsing around in them. Right. On a public land, you need to be staying on the trails. So it's like publicly shaming people who do that. And it is so funny. And I was dying reading it.
Get your scarlet letters out.
I know, seriously.
Start your engines.
So there we go.
All right.
And I think with that, let's introduce our queen. Hey, everybody. We are actively planning our hiking for this year. And so you know what that means. Our moon travel guides are out and about. We're marking them up and we're writing in all of our notes. We sincerely love them and we use moon travel guides all the time.
Moon is our favorite travel guidebook publisher because their authors are real people who live in and know the areas they're writing about like the back of their hand.
And we can trust them. From hikes to campsites to city sites to restaurants, Moon Travel has you covered.
So ready to cross something off your travel bucket list in 2024?
Have a lot of great ideas for trips but don't know how to get started or keep your itinerary organized?
Wherever your wanderings might take you or inspire you to go, Moon Travel has you covered.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical travel.
Don't spend months trying to craft the perfect getaway when you can do it all with Moon.
Whether you're headed out abroad, planning to take on the open road, or want to wander the trails of a national park, make sure to pack a Moon travel guide with you.
And through the end of 2024, our listeners can exclusively get 20% off any Moon travel guide when you go to moon.com. Use the code GAZE24 at checkout.
That's right. That is moon.com and use code GAZE24. And that's GAZE24 for 20% off any Moon travel guide in Moon's entire library at moon.com. And that is exclusively for GAZE listeners. Ladies, gentlemen, and everyone in between, please welcome to the stage
Jennifer Hudson News. So who is Jennifer Hudson News, Dusty Ballard?
Oh, I think Jennifer Hudson News is she's a reporter. Mm-hmm. Like, she's like a send-up of like an anchor.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, she riffs like Jennifer Hudson.
Okay.
She will, like, tell the news, like, with, like, fierce riffings.
Oh, I feel like I'm getting like a very like Lois Lane vibe from Jennifer Hudson News.
Yes,
like,
a very high ponytail.
She's like a beat reporter and she just like, you know, she uses a lot of shoulder in her act, I feel like,
right.
too. Cause she's sassy and she's, you know, she's going to tell it like it is.
Exactly.
And it's going to be unbiased news coverage.
Ta-da.
Ta-da. Ta-door. So what does she sing? What's her song?
Oh, I think it's a little on the nose for her to do a Jennifer Hudson song.
Yeah.
But I think she does... Oh, I think, I mean, a natural one would be It's Raining Men, because it's like, we're your weather,
we're your weather girls. And have we got news for you? You better listen.
I just feel like that's her like 11 o'clock encore.
Mm-hmm. And we sing it with her. You know, that's my karaoke go-to song.
I do know that it is.
And Private Dancer by Tina Turner.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I think that she starts off her show by doing a lip sync to the Mary Tyler Moore theme song.
Oh.
Who can turn the world on with her smile.
Does she throw her beret up?
You know she does. Mm-hmm.
Does it freeze though?
No.
No.
She does, but the beret does not.
So is that her fashion icon? Is that
the beret?
No. Is Mary Tyler Moore who she looks to for her outfit design?
I don't think so.
No.
I think she lives in the world of like TLC from the 90s, but just with like a high ponytail and a microphone.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Ladies, gentlemen, and everyone in between, please welcome to the stage. Jennifer Hudson News. And now it's time for our final game. So I wrote this final game, Mike, and I'm very excited about
Great.
It. It has everything to do with the things we just talked about.
Oh.
So here we go.
You didn't tell me there'd be a test at the end.
There's a little bit of a test. It is sometimes, most of the time, subjective. So Great. I hope you're excited.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. We're going. This is lightning round fast.
Oh.
Ready?
Yeah.
Set?
Go.
The California Condor Program is revitalizing the California condor population. Name any other endangered bird.
The peregrine falcon.
Great. You see someone at Arches National Park carving their initials into the side of a delicate arch. How do you respond?
I stop them immediately and find a ranger.
Immediately, yeah.
Yeah.
Tell the teacher.
Yeah.
ticks are all over Acadia National Park. Name one way to avoid tick bites.
You can wear layers that cover your skin, or you can wear like permethrin spray.
Yep.
That's two ways.
Exactly. Yeah. Many spots in Yosemite National Park were just reclaimed by their original names. What does the name Yosemite mean?
You never told me, but it was
no.
a Native American tribe
That's
that
true.
Was from
I
that
never
area.
Told you.
I don't know.
It means those who kill.
Oh.
All the fireflies are now out at Congaree National Park, or they were in May. Is it a good idea to bring a date to see synchronized fireflies in Congaree?
If you want to mate with them.
The new species of bird found in Cuyahoga Valley National Park was a hybrid of the cerulean warbler and the northern perula. The word cerulean was uttered many times in a now famous monologue from this film, also named the actor and character.
What is the Devil Wears Prada, who is Miranda Priestly, and who is our Lord and Savior Meryl Streep.
Arches is now an international dark sky park. Other than Canyonlands, name another international dark sky park.
Black Canyon of the Gunnison.
Great Smoky Mountains National Park just got their first female chief ranger in Lisa Hendy. How do you smell Smoky?
How do you spell it or
yes.
smell it?
How do you spell Smoky?
S-M-O-K-Y.
Right. Yeah. Why is there no E?
Because that is about, like, that's the description of, like, a smoky room, right?
Incorrect. No. Smoky with no E is a description of something filled with smoke.
Okay.
Smoky with an E is a name.
Oh, that's right. Like Smokey Robinson.
Exactly. Bryce Canyon is so cold, but I can't complain about the cold. Why?
Because you can only complain about one temperature and you choose the heat.
It's true. It's not
true,
actually.
True.
Not, it's reversed
yeah,
for
it's
me.
Reversed.
But yes, here we go.
Uh-huh.
The moose in Rocky Mountain National Parks are getting some collars. If moose were a designation in the gay animal kingdom, what kind of man would moose describe?
Oh, that's a great question. I feel like it would be like a gym daddy with a lot of muscles that when he like flexes, look like antlers.
Ta-da.
Ta-door.
And there we have it.
Gym daddy.
The season one summit part three. This has been the Season 1 Summit, Part 3, by Gaze at the National Parks.
And we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Follow us on Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks, and email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com.
Gaze at the National Parks was created and is hosted by Dustin Ballard and Michael Ryan.
This episode was edited by Dustin Ballard.
All original music was written and is recorded by Dave Seaman with Mariella Klinger.
All original artwork featured on Instagram is by Michael Ryan. Tune in next week for our final Season 1 Summit, Part 4, all about the hiking trails across the 10 parks we went to. And don't cry, because we are taking a small little break, but it's only for 2 weeks, and there might be some surprises during the break. And then we will be back with the beginning of Season 2 on Monday, September 16th.